We already talked about how curses start with things that come out of our mouth and things we say to our family. Well, it's also the same with a blessing. And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his clothing and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." So I want to ask you, what intentional things do you say over your family to make them feel loved? And if you don't know the answer to that, you need to start writing something down. Practice if you have to. I can't tell you how many men that I've talked to in my lifetime, how many men I've talked to in my lifetime that have told me, "My dad never told me he loved me. My dad never said that." And when they say it with an emptiness inside of them, it was like, man, if I could just heard it. And we heard, I don't know how many of you heard Chad Daniels' story, who felt like his dad put him out of the car when he was a 12-year-old kid and said, "I don't want to see you. You remind me of your mother, and I don't ever want to see you again." And he was on his own, and he never spoke to his dad, didn't know his dad. And then whenever his dad died, he found out about it later and found a picture of him as a little kid, and that's where he got this feeling, oh, my dad did love me. And he had to wait until he was an older man and his dad had passed away and he found this picture, and that's the first time he got to fill up that hole in his heart. Oh, he did love me. Never heard it. He just saw a picture. It's so important to tell your family how you feel about them. It's so important to speak life into the people around you. And guys, this isn't just about family. This is also about friendship. This is also about marriage. This is also about any relationship that is meaningful to you. When you discourage somebody, you take their courage from them. When you encourage someone, you're giving courage to them. You're making them stronger. You know, I have some spiritual fathers in my life, and every time I go to lunch with one of them, which has been too long now, I need to do it soon. Every time I go to lunch with my spiritual fathers, I come home, and my wife always tells me, she says, "I can tell you had lunch with Dr. Vest or one of your spiritual fathers." She said, you act stronger. It's true. When I'm with them, I feel stronger. I feel like David when he said, "I can run through a troop and leap over a wall." When they speak into me, that's what fathers do. And that's why, guys, for those of you who know me, you know that one of my favorite gifts to operate in is the gift of encouragement. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say that because I have to. It's not in my job description. I don't get paid to do it. You know why I do it? Because I know what it's like to have it. I know what it's like to not have it. And I like to have it. And I think that people do better. You know what Faith said to me the other day at Warrior Fest? She said, "Man, this is such an amazing conference." She said, "We don't really have a whole lot to do. You know what our job is? To encourage our team and keep our team going." So that's all we did. We just run around and tell everybody, "You've done a great job. You're doing so good. Keep going. Keep going." And I was like, we had the best job at Warrior Fest of anybody. I mean, some of you guys, you were cleaning toilets, and thank God for that. You'll get a bigger crown than me, but for cleaning those toilets. But we got to run around telling everybody how good they were doing, and we meant every word of it. We actually meant that. Do you know what that can do to encourage and strengthen somebody's life just by speaking life into them? Let me ask you this question: if you're not speaking into your children, who do you think is? Who do you think is speaking into your children? There you go. Is it the internet? Is it their phone speaking into them? Is it their coach speaking into them? Is it their friends at school? Is it a bad influence, someone speaking into them? Is it their teacher? Somebody speaking into them. And if they've got them 8 hours a day from you, I promise you, the time you have with them, you need to speak into them in such a way that it goes with them for the rest of their life. You don't want somebody else telling your child who they are. You want to be the one that says, "This is who you are. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what the bully said. I don't care what the spoiled child said. I'm telling you who you are. You're my child. You're a God's child. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You've got gifts and talents." I mean, you're the one that speaks into them. And so you got to realize there's a lot of voices out there competing with your voice. And you've got to be the one that speaks into your child more than anything else. So everybody say a meaningful touch. A meaningful touch is the first thing you have to give them, and the second thing is a spoken message. Say a spoken message. You know, the Lord said that to his son as an example to us. He didn't have to do this. Jesus didn't have to have this. Three times he did it, not just once. Three times God opens up the heaven and says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." That's what you need to be saying right there. You know, I tell all my spiritual kids, I'm proud of you. I tell them that all the time. Sons and daughters, I'm proud of you. And I mean it every time I say it. And this is my way of saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Because it's important to know that somebody believes in you. It's important to know that somebody's speaking into you. And God did that as well.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
You know, another place that I think that if you're not doing this, another place that's probably the greatest place in the world to encourage your family is at the family table. I don't know what's happened to the American families, but we've destroyed this part of our life. I remember, how many of you grew up eating at the family table? How many of you grew up eating there at least twice a day? Breakfast, I mean before school, breakfast, and dinner every night was just an absolute must. Anybody remember Sunday lunches? And the whole family came over for that. It was usually filled with laughter, and some houses maybe not, but and you know, most of the time it was a fun time. You get all the old people and all the old aunts coming in and the old uncles coming in, and they say crazy things, and you know, it was just fun, but I looked forward to it. I don't know about you, but I loved it. And somewhere along the way, we've just gotten away from doing this. We eat around TV sets, or you have people. And listen, don't let your kids bring their phones to the table. Somebody needs to say that out loud. Don't let them bring their phones to the table. If you have to take up a collection, there needs to be a lot more clapping than that for that one, I'm telling you. If you got to take up a collection on Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day, my wife has told me she's going to do this. She said, on Thanksgiving, I'm passing the basket. Every phone's going in the basket. When we're here together. We're going to look at each other in the eye. We're going to talk to each other. We're not going to sit 2 feet from each other talking to somebody else who's 1,000 miles from here that we don't even know, when your own family's right across the aisle from you. We're not going to do it. So we got to bring things like this back intentionally so that we can speak into our family the right way. I did a little stat today. I just wanted to find out how much time do people actually spend on TV and the internet. This is what I found out. The average teen, not at OCI, of course, but other places, the average teen spends 7 hours a day on their devices. 7 hours a day. Many teens, 4 to 4.8 hours is the American average for teenagers. 4.8 hours on a digital device. That means that 50% of our team, that 50% of the teams have 4+ hours of daily screen time, and that most teenagers unlock their phones 96 times per day on average. And of course, The phone companies know how many times you do that because they hit you up every time you do it. 96 times per day. As a matter of fact, for most teenagers, they will spend half of their waking hours on a device. Half of their waking hours on a device. And you know what this does? This shapes their identity. It reduces their attention span. It changes their sleep patterns. It influences their belief systems. It creates isolation and loneliness. And that's why the majority of the teens in America are suffering from anxiety, because they're lonely. And they don't have the kind of real relationships that we have. It creates isolationism. Here's the next thing we have to do. We have to attach high value to the one being blessed. Listen to what Genesis says. And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. So he said, I want to attach high value to them. I don't know, I'm notorious for giving nicknames to people, but hopefully they're nicknames that make you feel good. I don't like the nicknames that don't make you feel good, but I do that to a lot of people. And it's a term of endearment for me. That's why I call my redhead the redhead. And she's not, I've got one for every member of my family, and all my staff have nicknames. And eventually I just kind of stick something on you because it's just something I do because I like you. And when I do that, you know that I really like you. When I start calling you by something else, it means I really like you. And I really like you even if I don't. So don't anybody get any bad ideas, right? I said, he don't like me. He hasn't given me a nickname. Give me some time. All right, so you have to attach high value. You have to find out what your kids are good at and brag on it. Every kid's going to be different. Some kids don't like sports. There's nothing wrong with that. They might be the next Einstein. You don't know. You don't have to like what your father likes. You don't have to do the things your uncle likes. You don't have to be that. You need to be you. Some kids like music more than other things. And whatever they're good at, find that, celebrate that, and speak into their life. When Jacob was blessing all of his sons, he gave them these incredible word pictures. Listen to what he said. Judah, he called him a lion. You know what he said to Judah? You're going to be strong. He said to Zebulun, he said, you're going to be a haven for ships. You are a protector. He's on his deathbed. This is the last things he says to them. He puts a value on them. Issachar, he said, you're going to be a strong donkey. Now, I know in our culture that means something different, but in his culture that meant money. So in his culture, that means you're going to have a lot of money. That was like saying you're going to own a lot of Cadillacs, okay? So it doesn't mean what it means now. That means that you are so, I don't know what version of the Bible you're reading, but that means that you are going to be very, very wealthy. He said to Dan, he said, you're going to be a judge. You're going to be wise and powerful. Asher, you're going to be like bread. You're going to be life-giving to everybody around you. Naphtali, he said, you're going to be a beautiful deer. And he uses these poetic words to describe him. You're going to be so loving that everybody's going to want to be around you. You're going to be so filled with love that every time you walk in the room, people are going to get happy. Joseph, you're going to be a fruit vine by a well whose branches run over the wall. Now, that may not sound good to you, but it sounded really good to Joseph. That means prosperity. That means that I got vines, so many vines, they're running over the wall. I'm not only blessed, I'm blessing everybody around me. And, of course, you look at his life. That's exactly what he did. Benjamin, you're going to be a great wolf hunter who hunts by day and divides his spoils by night. In other words, you're going to be a big success. Speak that over your children. Speak life over your children. Attach a value to them that makes them feel like, man, nobody's going to do it like I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take the tiger by the tail and I'm going to win. Make them feel like, if you make it, don't tell your child they're a loser and expect them to be a winner. Tell them they're a winner and expect them to be a winner. They'll find a way to win, but you got to speak life into them, not death into them. Amen. And then here's the last thing. He said, prophesy a blessed future over them. Therefore, may God give you. Look at all the things he said that God's going to give you. The dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you. Let the nations bow down. Be master over your brethren. And let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be to everyone who curses you. And blessed be to everyone who blesses you. So he prophesies this amazing future over them. Here's the thing you need to understand. All of these men, these Jewish men who did this to their families, they weren't prophets. They weren't spiritual prophets. These were just the heads of the households who were pronouncing blessings because they wanted to put that idea in their child's head. Now, can I tell you something? You don't have to be a prophet to give your child a good future. If you say, listen, man, you are so good at what you do, you're just going to get better and better and better, and they believe that, that is the path they're going to take. If you say, you're never going to amount to anything, you can't do anything, you worthless thing, if you say that, You don't want them taking that path. You don't. I've heard people speak things over their children. You don't want them to prove you right. Well, I won't be honest with you guys. I get a little fired up when I talk about stuff like that because I am tired of watching people destroy each other. We got to come together. And I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the family. We got to come together and quit this mess. We got to come together and quit all this destruction that the enemy is laying us waste. He knows that if we ever get together in a place of unity, we can conquer every mountain, we can win every battle, and we'll come back from every war alive if we ever get together. He doesn't want us together. It was because he was wanting them to choose the right path. He wasn't always prophesying, saying, God's going to make this happen. He said, this is what I see in you. And because of that, they were choosing the right path and becoming great things in their life.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.